Balance of payments. What is the balance of payments? The balance of payments, BOP, records the many financial transactions that are made between consumers, businesses and the government in the UK with people across the world. The BOP figures tell us about how much is being spent by British consumers and firms on imported goods and services, and how successful UK firms have been in exporting to other countries and markets. It is an important measure of the relative performance of the UK in the global economy. The importance of exports for the economy. Why is the export sector of the economy vital for the UK? 1. Aggregate demand and the multiplier. An increasing share of Britain's national output is exported overseas as the nation becomes more integrated into the global economy. Export earnings are an injection of aid into the circular flow. If British companies can successfully sell goods and services overseas, the rise in exports boosts national income and should have a positive multiplier effect on output and employment. 2. Manufacturing industry. Export sales are particularly important for manufacturing industry, where exports are over 50% of total production. Thousands of jobs depend directly on the performance of the export sector, and even more are affected in supply industries. 3. Regional economic health. The relative success or failure of export industries is important for certain regions of the UK. When export sales dip, output, employment and living standards come under threat, and threaten to widen the existing north-south divide. Measuring the current account. The current account of the balance of payments comprises the balance of trade in goods and services plus net investment incomes from overseas assets and net transfers. Net investment income comes from interest payments, profits, and dividends from external assets located outside the UK. For example, a UK firm may own a business overseas and send back some of the operating profits to the UK. This would count as a credit item for our current account, as it is a stream of profits flowing back into the UK. Similarly, an overseas investment in the UK might generate a good rate of return, and the profits are remitted back to another country. This would be a debit item in the balance of payments accounts. Transfers into and out of the UK include foreign aid payments. For the UK, the net transfers figure is negative each year, mainly on account of the UK being a net contributor to the budget of the European Union. As a relatively rich nation, the UK makes sizable foreign aid payments to many other countries. The current account. The current account balance is essentially a reflection of whether the British economy is paying its way with other countries. The annual trade balance is volatile from year to year, because each of the four component parts is subject to fluctuations. Summary details for the UK current account are shown in the table below. The UK trade balance in goods is shown in the chart below, and the following chart tracks the balance of trade and services. The trade deficit in goods has increased every year from 2000 throughout to 2008, reaching a record of over £93 billion. The surplus in trade and services has also grown each year, although the overall gap in exports and imports for trade in goods and services remains wide. The UK enjoys a strong net inflow of interest, profits, and dividends from her stock of overseas investment, and this helps to rebalance the current account of the balance of payments. Overall, the UK has run a current account deficit for many years, peaking at £44.5 billion in 2006. But in 2009 there was an improvement in the balance of payments deficit. The current account deficit shrunk to £15.5 billion, less than half of the level seen in 2007. What are the main questions that concern economists regarding these figures? 1. Causation. Why does the UK now run such large trade deficits in goods? 2. Consequences. Does it matter if the economy is running persistent current account deficits? 3. Correction. Which demand and supply side economic policies are likely to be most effective in improving our trade balances in the years ahead? Trade in goods includes items such as 1. Manufactured goods. 2. Semi-finished goods and components. 3. Energy products. 4. Raw materials. 5. Consumer goods. 6. Durable goods. 7. Non-durable goods, for instance foods. 8. Capital goods, for instance equipment. Trade and services includes 1. Banking, insurance and consultancy. 2. Other financial services including foreign. 3. Exchange and derivatives trading. 4. Tourism industry. 5. Transport and shipping. 6. Education and health services. 7. Research and development. 8. Cultural arts. Trade in goods includes exports and imports of oil and other energy products, manufactured goods, foodstuffs, raw materials and components. Until recently this was known as visible trade, that is exporting and importing of tangible products. Since 1986 the net balance of trade in goods for the UK has been in deficit, and that deficit has been growing in nearly every year. It was over £93 billion in 2008, before edging down to £82 billion during the recession year of 2009. Much of the trade deficit in goods is due to a huge imbalance in the imports and exports of manufactured goods such as motor vehicles, consumer electronic products and capital equipment. The UK is now a net importer of oil and gas, since North Sea oil and gas production is well past its peak. In recent years the high oil prices for these two essential energy sources have worsened their trade balance. The manufactured goods trade balance is shown in the chart below. Trade and services. Trade and services includes the exporting and importing of intangible products, for example, banking and finance, insurance, shipping, air travel, tourism, and consultancy. Britain has a strong trade base in services, with over 30% of total export earnings come from services. Indeed, the success of our service sector industries has been one of the strong points in our economic performance over the last 10 to 20 years. The UK balance of trade and services has been in surplus for many years. In 1999 the UK became the second largest exporters of services in the world. Strong surpluses are especially common in financial and business services and high-tech knowledge services. The UK is also a major net exporter of creative services such as film and television programmes, books, advertising and marketing services and architecture and design. But the UK runs a deficit in international travel and transportation in part, because of the long-term growth of demand for overseas holidays as living standards have improved. Once again, rising incomes have caused a large rise in the demand for leisure and business travel and the recent strength of the exchange rate, until recently, and the rapid expansion of low-cost airlines offering short-haul overseas breaks has also played its part. Britain has a comparative advantage in selling financial services to the rest of the world. London is one of the three main financial centres in the world, and has the largest share of trading in many international financial markets. For example, around one-third of all of the currency dealing takes place in London's trading platforms, and many overseas banks have established themselves in London's money and capital markets. Numerous British financial businesses have world-class status in their areas of expertise. Are UK-based commercial banks, fund managers, securities dealers, futures and options traders, insurance companies and money market brokerage businesses are part of a complex network of financial and business services that represent a huge asset for the UK balance of payments accounts. Causes of a balance of payments deficit. Why do some countries, including the UK and the United States, run persistently large trade deficits, whilst other nations, including China, Germany, and Japan, achieve big trade surpluses each year? This is an example of the economics of causation, that is, looking at an issue and trying to unravel some of the main causes. It is good for your evaluation skills to group the explanations for the record trade deficit in goods into short-term, medium-term and long-term factors. In general, shorter-term explanations tend to focus on demand-side factors, whereas longer-term causes are often the result of supply-side factors. High income elasticity of demand for imports. The income elasticity for imports is high, so when consumer demand is strong, the volume of imported products grows quickly. Long-term decline in the capacity of manufacturing industry, because of deindustrialization. There has been a shift of manufacturing production to lower-cost emerging market countries, and then export products back into the UK. Many UK businesses have outsourced assembly of goods to other countries whilst retaining other aspects of the supply chain, such as marketing and research, within the UK. The UK is a net importer of foodstuffs and beverages, and has also seen a sharp rise in imports of oil and gas, as our North Sea oil and gas production is long past its peak levels. The trade balance is vulnerable to shifts in world commodity prices and exchange rates. We import a large volume of raw materials, component parts and pieces of capital equipment. What does a current account deficit mean? Running a deficit on the current account basically means that the UK economy is not paying its way in the global economy. There is a net outflow of demand and income from the circular flow of income and spending. The current account does not have to balance, because the balance of payments also includes the capital account. The capital account tracks capital flows in and out of the UK. This includes portfolio capital flows, for instance share transactions and the buying and selling of government debt, and direct capital flows arising from foreign investment. The capital account is not covered at his level. You only need to understand the current account of the balance of payments. The effects of changes in the balance of payments on the UK economy. The downturn in the global economy has emphasized the importance of export industries for the health and performance of the macro economy. Many export-dependent nations such as Germany and Japan have seen a dramatic slump in industrial production in 2009, mainly because of a steep fall in the world demand for manufactured products, especially capital equipment. The UK too exports nearly 30% of national output, so a fall in export demand has a direct impact on aggregate demand and short-run economic growth. Here are some of the main effects of a downturn in export sales. Reductions in demand in the circular flow. An inward shift of AD would lead to a contraction along the SRAS curve and a reduction in economic growth. Lost jobs. There will be a loss of employment if exporting industries require less labor, and if UK businesses lose market share and output to cheaper imports from overseas. Dip in business confidence and investment. a fall in business confidence and a decline in planned capital investment spending by UK exporting firms whose order books are less full and whose profits take a hit from a fall in demand from overseas. Reductions in inflationary pressure. Lower inflation because imports coming into the UK are cheaper and a fall in AD takes the economy further away from full capacity national output. Overall, a decline in exports will leave the economy with spare productive capacity, a negative output gap, and the risk of negative multiplier and accelerator effects because of a contraction in production and jobs. If the export industries suffer a fall in demand, much depends on whether extra spending on goods and services can be found in other parts of the economy. The exchange rate and the balance of payments. Changes in the exchange rate can have a big effect on the balance of payments, although these effects are subject to uncertain time lags. When sterling is strong, the price of UK goods and services in foreign markets rises and UK exporters find it harder to sell their products overseas. It is also cheaper for UK consumers to buy imported goods and services because the pound buys more foreign currency than it did before. So a strong pound may lead to a worsening of the balance of trade, but much depends on the value of price elasticity of demand for exports and imports. The balance of payments and the standard of living. A common misconception is that balance of payments deficits are always bad for the economy. This is not necessarily true. In principle, there is nothing wrong with a trade deficit. It simply means that a country must rely on foreign direct investment or borrow money to make up the difference. And in the short term, if a country is importing a high volume of goods and services, this is a boost to living standards because it allows consumers to buy more consumer durables. Many countries operate with a trade and current account surplus. Good examples are China, Germany, oil and gas exporting nations, and emerging market countries with strong export sectors. There are several causes and each country will have a unique set of circumstances. Export-oriented growth. Some countries have set out to increase the capacity of their export industries as a growth strategy. Investment in new capital provides the means by which economies of scale can be exploited, unit costs driven down, and comparative advantage can be developed. Germany, Japan, and China are countries that are net exporters of goods. However, export-dependent countries have all suffered from the global economic downturn. Foreign direct investment. Strong export growth can be the result of a high level of foreign direct investment, where foreign affiliates establish production plants and are exporting. Undervalued exchange rate. A trade surplus might result from a country attempting to depreciate its exchange rate to boost competitiveness. Keeping the exchange rate down might be achieved by currency intervention by a nation's central bank that is selling their own currency and accumulating reserves of foreign currency. One of the persistent disputes between the USA and China has revolved around allegations that the Chinese have manipulated the yuan so that export industries can continue to sell huge volumes into North American markets. High domestic savings rates. Some economists attribute current account surpluses to high levels of domestic savings and low rates of domestic consumption of goods and services. China is an economy with a high household saving ratio and a huge trade surplus. In contrast, the savings ratio in the United States has collapsed, and their trade deficit has got bigger and bigger. Critics of countries with persistent trade surpluses argue that they should do more to expand domestic demand and provide a boost to world trade. Closed economy. Some countries have a low share of national income taken up by imports, perhaps because of a range of tariff and non-tariff barriers. strong investment income from overseas investments. A part of the current account that is often overlooked is the return that investors get from purchasing assets overseas. It might be the profits coming home from the foreign subsidiaries of multinational businesses, or the interest from money held on overseas bank accounts, or the dividends from taking equity stakes in foreign companies. Economic policies to reduce a large trade deficit. There are a number of policies that can be introduced to achieve an improvement in a country's trade balance. Some of them focus on changing the growth of demand, others look to improve the supply-side competitiveness of an economy. As with any macroeconomic problem, effective policies are those that target the underlying causes. 1. Demand management. Reductions in government spending, higher interest rates and higher taxes could dampen consumer demand, reducing the demand for imports. 2. Natural effects of the economic cycle. One would expect to see a trade deficit fall during a recession, so some of the deficit is partially self-correcting. 3. A lower exchange rate. The central bank of a country might decide that a lower exchange rate provides a suitable way of improving competitiveness, reducing the overseas price of exports, and making imports more expensive. 4. Supply-side improvements. Policies to raise productivity, measures to bring about more innovation and incentives to increase investment in industries with export potential are supply-side measures designed to boost exports' performance and compete more effectively with imports. The time lags for supply-side policies to have an impact are long. 5. Protectionist measures such as import quotas and tariffs are rarely used, because of our commitments to the World Trade Organization and our membership of the European Union. How do events in the USA economy affect the British economy? The United States is the largest economy in the world, and macroeconomic developments in her economy inevitably have a significant impact on the global economy and prospects for the British economy. This revision notes flags up a few of these. The sheer size of the US economy means that what happens there has important feedback effects on the wider global system, which then affect us. Ex-Prime Minister Gordon Brown repeated ad nauseam that the recent recession in the UK started in America with the bursting of the subprime crisis. Whilst there is something in this argument, the reality is that events in the USA were not the dominant cause of the financial crisis in the UK in 2008-2009. 1/trade. Around 16% of the UK's trade in goods and services is with the United States. Indeed, save for the European Union, the USA is the largest single export market for the UK. So changes in the economic cycle in the USA may affect the size and growth of export markets for many UK businesses, and also the prices of products imported into the UK from the USA. The UK runs a sizable trade surplus with the United States. It grew above £25 billion in 2009, with exports to the USA just below £70 billion last year. 2/investment. The UK has many large-scale investments in the United States. Data for 2009 shows that the USA is the leading overseas destination for British investment. When the US economy is strong, successful external investments from UK companies and individuals will generate a rising flow of interest, profits, and dividends back into the UK, adding to our GNP and helping to improve the current account of the balance of payments. US companies and institutions are major investors in the UK. 3/exchange rates and commodity prices. The US dollar, sterling exchange rate is one of the most heavily traded currencies in the international financial system. The external value of the dollar which is a floating currency, is determined by factors such as relative interest rates, expected rates of return on overseas investments, the strength of the domestic U.S. economy, growth and inflation expectations, and world demand for the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency. Consider a situation where the U.S. dollar weakens against a basket of international currencies. This is likely to cause an appreciation in the value of sterling against the dollar. Because many internationally traded commodities are priced in dollars, then a rising dollar/pound exchange rate will make it cheaper for the UK to import commodities and raw materials. Trade, investment, and currency effects are important for the UK economy, but it would be wrong to attach too much weight to the consequences of developments in the USA for Britain. We now live in a multipolar world. The global economy has more than one engine of growth as the balance of economic power shifts away from developed countries, for instance the G7, towards emerging market countries. Growths in nations such as the BRIC nations and a growing number of other developing nations are key in understanding the prospects for Britain as it looks to emerge from the recent recession. 1A1B1C1D, 2A2B2C second, 3A3B, 4A4B 4C, 5A, 6A 6B 6C, 7A 7B 7C 7D, 8A 8B 8C, 9A 9B 9C 9D 9E, 10A 10B 10C.